Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org
or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
There are people on their faculty who say there is no truth, and if there is, we can never find it. And that suggests we're drifting into a post-Christian world.
They are to be kept distinct. The work of the temporal realm and the work of the spiritual realm are different, but they're not unrelated, and they're not to be kept divorced from each other.
A meek person is a person who simply trusts that God's got their back, and they don't have to avenge themselves. They leave it to God because they know that God is the one who is in charge, not them.
Young Lutherans ages 4 and 6 learn the evening prayer from listening to Issues Etc.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray, forgive me all my sins.
We all have a sense that something has changed. Over the course of my life, almost 60 years, it has changed. The world I grew up in was not a world of, in majority families, broken families, divorce everywhere. Those things existed back in the 1960s and 70s, and they were certainly on the rise during that time, but they were not as prevalent as they are today. It's not just my sense of it. The numbers have actually changed. So what's become of the family, and how do we account for its decline? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about a new U.S. Senate report called The Demise of the Happy Two-Parent Home. I think there the operative word is happy. Tim Gagline, Vice President of Governmental and External Relations for Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C., will be our guest. Then we'll spend some time getting a Lutheran perspective on the pandemic, a second perspective from Dr. Jacob Corzine, co-author of the new book, Faith in the Shadow of a Pandemic. Joining us to talk about a new U.S. Senate report called The Demise of the Happy Two-Parent Home, Tim Gagline, Vice President of Government and External Relations for Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C. He's co-author of a column for The Federalist titled Latest Marriage Data Suggests Dark Future for America If Things Don't Change Fast, and the book American Restoration. Tim, welcome back.
Todd, it's great to be with you. Thank you so much.
So tell us about this U.S. Senate report, The Demise of the Happy Two-Parent Home.
Well, there is something that is little known on Capitol Hill that deserves to be better known, Todd. It's called the Social Capital Project. It's a small division, kind of a think tank, within the Joint Economic Committee. And the last few years, they have done some really remarkable research that deserves to be much better known. And those of us that focus on the family are in touch with the Joint Economic Committee on a number of issues. And when they came out with the report that you referenced a moment ago, we were very eager to dig into the data. And as you so eloquently said at the top of this program, the deeper you dive into the data, the more heart-wrenching it becomes. Because if we think as Christians of the concept of the natural nuclear family, you realize this is one of God's greatest gifts to us. And when you look at the landscape in America, you realize that relatively speaking, meaning relative to the history of our country, we have very few two-parent nuclear households from, say, birth to the age of a child of 18. The data is very sobering.
So what specifically does the report tell us about the decline of the family?
Well, the most important thing, Todd, that it says, and this is something that we stressed in our book, American Restoration, is that as sources of social capital, and I'm quoting now from the report, as sources of social capital, few relationships are as important as the family ties between parents and children. I mean, I really love that very powerful sentence. And yet, when you dig into this congressional report, one of the most startling things you find is that more than 45% of all of America's children, by the time they reach late adolescence, are actually spending some time without either a mother or a father in the home. I mean, we are nearly 50% of American children, birth to 18, who by the time they get to 18 have spent a large percentage of their growing up, you know, without a mother or a father in the home. That is a staggering reality, even against all the other social data that we are dealing with in early 21st century America.
What does it tell us about the decline of marriage itself?
Well, I think what this report does, and it does so better than any single report that I've ever looked at, been a part of, or read in my 30-plus years in Washington, is that if we do not, as a nation, begin to seriously address the implications of a measurable decline in marriage, a measurable decline in national fertility, a measurable decline in an intact natural nuclear family, I think that it is fair to say that we will, in short order, end up with a country that is astonishingly different than one that was conceived not, you know, 200 years ago or 100 years ago or even 50 years ago, but more like 25 years ago. That's how dramatic the things that we're discussing today on your great program are happening. It's very, very rapid.
Does the report address cohabitation?
It does. And I think that cohabitation is one of the areas when social demographers look at the country, they look at unwed childbearing, they look at divorce rates, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that we need to really spend time in both political parties across the country on the question that you've just raised, because one of the startling statistics in this report is that cohabitation now precedes two-thirds of all marriages. And Todd, I don't need to tell you, you compare that number to just 1% merely 60 years ago, and you see what this has led to. One of the things that we asked about in writing our piece for The Federalist, and one of the things that we researched for our book, American Restoration, is how this number of cohabitation of individuals has actually contributed to the otherwise staggering increases in unwed childbearing. And we have found that the answer is that it is jaw-dropping. Only 5% of children in 1962 were being born to an unwed mother. I'll say that again, 5% of children in 1962 America were born to unwed mothers. Today, we're looking more at 40% overall. And when you break that down by race and demography, what it means is that about 70 to 75% of all Black Americans are born out of wedlock. About 53% of all Hispanic Americans are born out of wedlock, and about 33 to 35% of all Caucasian or white babies are born out of wedlock. The majority of babies born to women ages 30 years of age and under, the majority in America are now born out of wedlock. Does this all grow from cohabitation? Definitively not. But is cohabitation in these large numbers before marriage a factor? We feel definitively that it is.
So it sounds like there are disparities according to race, education, and economics in these numbers.
There are indeed. And this is one of the very uncomfortable things that we as Americans do not want to discuss. But I think the beauty of your program is that you're very comfortable bringing guests on like myself who present empirical data and allow for a broader national discussion. One of those data points is the rates for minority families who are facing what we consider to be one of the alarming statistics regarding families. 64% of Black women in their early 30s had never been married, and that results in something like 80% of some Black children, some in some major urban metropolitan areas especially, being raised only by a single parent. You know, that's something that we as a nation, regardless of political party, regardless of political ideology or religion, it's something that we need to ask, what are the results of that? How does that bear across the larger culture? I think now we need to say more than ever that children do best when they are in a stable two-parent home. It makes them less apt to experience physical, emotional, sexual abuse, less likely to live in poverty, more likely to have better health, exhibit less aggression, and to do better educationally. Those are things that we all want in America, regardless of party, regardless of class. And the question is, how do we get there? That, to me, is the largest historical question.
One of the things that you guys address in your article is the role that men are playing in the decline of marriage. Two factors: that men seem to be using their success early in adulthood to basically play the field, and that women perceive this as men being less marriageable than ever before.
Well, you've said it better than I think it could possibly be summarized. The decline of marriage is ominous news in this Senate report. And one of the constant complaints that we hear from young women in 21st century America is the lack of marriageable men and the otherwise abundance of men who are not financially and emotionally prepared to be a husband or a father. And what is so powerful about this U.S. Senate report is that the report goes into detail about how the lack of marriageable men is now seen reliably as an otherwise leading factor in the rise of single parenting. And the average age of marriage, of course, is rising year after year. When you look at the Senate data, as we did, we found that while the report discounts the theory that men are seen as not marriageable, you know, because of economic reasons, it does in fact say that the rise of affluence has led men to pursue self-fulfillment instead of being emotionally ready to embrace the responsibility of being a devoted husband and father. And we found in our book, American Restoration, when we were going through data sets on why so many less young people are being married, we found overwhelmingly that the number one reason given by women was not that there were not enough men in the available pool, but that they seemed to be preoccupied by other factors that made them otherwise desirable as a lifelong husband and father. So I think that this is, in one sense, perhaps the most important part of this Senate report.
We're talking with Tim Gagelein, Vice President of Government and External Relations at Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C., about a new U.S. Senate report called The Demise of the Happy Two-Parent Home. When we come back, what are the report's conclusions? And if the decline of marriage and family continues, what can we expect for our communities and our country?
How do we defend children's rights? Well, there's one very simple but hard answer to that, and it is that adults need to do hard things.
Katie Faust of Them Before Us, speaking at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Too often, we expect children to do the hard things in marriage and family situations. What about when adults are facing a struggling marriage? If the adults decide, we just can't work this out, what they're really saying is, this cross is too heavy for me. Here, kids, you take it instead.
You can watch and listen to a recording of Katie Faust's presentation, Making the Case for Children's Rights, from this year's Making the Case Conference. For a tax-deductible donation of $250, you can download an audio and video recording. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes at a conversation with Tim Gagelein on the new U.S. Senate report, The Demise of the Happy Two-Parent Home. And then we'll be talking with Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, about Senator Kamala Harris's Reproductive Rights Act and how it may find its way into a Biden administration. Tim, what are the report's conclusions? What do they say after all the data is laid out?
Well, after all the data is laid out, the U.S. Senate report says that when it comes to marriage in decline, when it comes to lower national fertility levels, when it comes to an increasing number of less marriageable men, it lays out the question, what do we do next? And, of course, it's a U.S. Senate report, and so it does not purport to say that, you know, within American politics, left or right, that there are ultimately political answers to otherwise what are often spiritual and cultural realities. But it does leave open the possibility of the importance of faith, very broadly defined. And may I say, Todd, that, you know, in all of our conversations across the years, the one narrative thread that all these wonderful conversations have had is the often indefinable reality or importance of faith as it relates to intact families, to marriage, to parenting, obviously to the pro-life concerns we have, to religious liberty, etc. And so I'm very glad that as sobering as this Senate report is, that it provides a portal for a national discussion on what do you do about the decline of marriage, family, and parenting. Of course, we at Focus on the Family believe that we have a lot of the answers to those questions. But the answer ultimately is that politics will never save a marriage. Politics will never tuck a child into bed at night. That ultimately the answer to how to strengthen marriage, family, and parenting in America, and I think data sets like this U.S. Senate report can really help steer us and guide us, is that it's about a spiritual regeneration. It's about moral repurposing. It's about not being shy, about bringing into the public square large questions about what are we going to do about marriage? What are we going to do about family? And of course, at the most local and organic level, empowering the church, empowering paraministries, empowering a wide swath for a national discussion, conversation, dialogue about the centrality of faith. It's the one area increasingly that is sidelined, and yet faith is the template ultimately to the institutions that we believe in most. And we're living through an era where institutions are facing withering criticism and measurable decline. And in this era of kind of foul weather, we have to find fair weather solutions. And the most important one is the empowerment of the local church. Anything that can be done to strengthen churches in our communities ultimately builds up communities, it builds up neighborhoods. There's not going to be a national answer to these questions in Washington, D.C. Washington, even at its best, and I think that this report is an excellent tool and an excellent piece of work. You know, Washington at its best can sometimes delineate what the problems are, but the most important solutions will come at the local level. That's where our American restoration, the restoration of these great institutions, will ultimately be rooted.
If the decline of marriage and family continues as it has been for the last 6 or 7 decades, what can we expect for our communities and our country?
Well, I think we're already seeing it. And in fact, I think we're seeing it in dramatic ways in our most urban and metropolitan areas. I think that they are, unfortunately, the bellwether of the answer to your question. You know, the data sets that you and I have talked about today, Todd, are national data sets. You know, it includes rural, urban, ex-urban, suburban America. But when you delineate the data of the strength of marriage, family, and parenting in our most urban areas, and in urban cores especially, that are experiencing severe economic duress, the already staggering numbers that you and I have talked about and exchanged today become even more dramatic. Here in Washington, D.C., nearby in Baltimore, Maryland, nearby in Richmond, Virginia, nearby in Philadelphia, you know, when you look at the data sets, they are really stunning and shocking. There are whole areas of our urban core where we have large numbers of young people who do not know anyone who is married. Fathers, particularly in the urban core, are considered a bit of a relic. It's not uncommon in many of our major metropolitan areas for huge numbers of people in large neighborhoods and communities, which are already experiencing decline. It is not uncommon for young boys and young girls to not even know who their father is. They sometimes do not know who their biological brothers and sisters are. And we know from all of the best social science that one of the greatest things we can give our children is not only a mother and a father, but a narrative of where these little people fit into the story of their families. Who are their grandparents? Who are their great-grandparents? Who are their brothers and sisters and cousins, their nieces, nephews? Of course, most importantly, their moms and their dads. So I think that to answer very specifically your question, I think we have seen through this data the roadmap, unfortunately, that we do not want to continue upon. And I think that the question of empowering a spiritual renewal at a local level has become more important now than at any single time in American history.
Finally, with about a minute or so here, Tim, is it encouraging to you that the U.S. Senate is at least acknowledging how bad things have become?
I could not agree more. The answer is yes. We at Focus on the Family have found a wonderful way to work with United States Senator Mike Lee of Utah. Mike has been interested in the questions that we've discussed today for many, many years that even predate his time in the U.S. Senate. So the very fact that we could have a part of the United States Senate Joint Economic Committee, which has determined that the issues that we've discussed of marriage, family, parenting, community, neighborhood, and church are this important. The fact that they would create a small group of thinkers to go out and prepare this kind of a exquisitely well-done report is incredibly encouraging. And I'm inspired by the Senate staffers who wrote it, and it's our hope and prayer that more and more people will dig into this report and find a way that they can use it at the in all the places that they live, because I think there's a lot in this report that we need to share widely.
Tim Gagelein is Vice President of Government and External Relations at Focus on the Family in Washington, D.C. He's co-author of a column for The Federalist titled "Latest Marriage Data Suggests Dark Future for America If Things Don't Change Fast," and the book American Restoration. You can read the column and purchase American Restoration at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Tim, thank you very much.
It's a real pleasure, Todd. God bless.
Carol Tobias will be with us on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking with her about what a future Biden administration might mean based upon some positions taken by Vice President Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris, when she was running for president, and her Reproductive Rights Act. Church and state, communion fellowship, the church year, baptism, Lutheranism. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is a simple explanation series. It's a pack of 20 pamphlets with solid biblical guidance on various Christian topics. A simple explanation pamphlet is perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in the church pews. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A simple explanation series.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with Beatitudes Part 2, Salt and Light, Jesus Fulfills the Law, Jesus Explains the Fifth Commandment, and Jesus Explains the Sixth Commandment. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Augustana Lutheran Church in Moscow, Idaho, invites you to receive the gifts of Christ with us. We preach Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins, risen from the dead for your justification and life. Confessional, sacramental, liturgical. We're a new Missouri Synod congregation on the Palouse. We meet Sundays near the University of Idaho, 1015 West C Street. Bible study 9 a.m., divine service at 10. Find us on Facebook or visit moscowlutheran.org.
Ad Crucem is proud to support Christian education for students of all ages. We offer posters of the Lord's Prayer, Martin Luther's Morning and Evening Prayers, the Three Creeds, the Small Catechism, and more. Additionally, we offer baptism, confirmation, and marriage certificates. Stock up now for the new school year and ensure your learning environment is distinctively Lutheran with these quality products. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.